I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of 1 Kings and the chapter 21. 1 Kings, and can I take this opportunity to join with the minister of this congregation to thank you for coming. And I trust that you'll remember the rest of the meetings as they continue night after night. Come and join with us and make these very special meetings in the presence of the Lord himself. 1 Kings chapter 21, let's read the word of God. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbiddeth me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the words which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, Why is thy spirit so sad and that thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. She wrote in the letter saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. Men of a city, even the elders and the nobles, were the inhabitants of a city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth doth blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city. They stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass that when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. It came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he said, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And God will always add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. I suppose one of the greatest Old Testament prophets and characters is Elijah the prophet. He was God's man during the reign of Ahab the king of Israel and Jezebel his wicked queen. We find in chapter 17 the first appearance of Elijah the prophet when God sent him to Ahab to prophesy that God was sending judgment upon the land and there would be no rain on the land. And that God would say that there would be neither dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah was a mighty prophet. And yet Elijah was subject to just the like passions as we are. We find that indeed this mighty man in chapter 18, he goes to the Mount Carmel and there he challenges the prophets of Baal. And how that God gives him a great victory. And we see him there on the top of the mountain rejoicing in God's deliverance. Then you come to the next chapter and you find him. He's sitting under a juniper tree. And there he's asking God that he would die because of the fear in his heart, because of Jezebel, the queen. You know, God knew just exactly the needs of his servants. He knows the weaknesses of her frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. And God met the need of this man sitting there under the juniper tree in the wilderness, requesting God to die, and God gave him sustenance, enable him to go in the strength of the Lord 40 days and 40 nights onto Horeb, the Mount of God. You know, although he felt he was alone in the battle, God assured him that there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Sometimes as you and I walk the Christian life, friend, and we face the trials of earth's journey, there are times we feel lonely. Seems as if we just feel like Elijah, we're all alone. I only am left. And yet God has promised there'll always be a faithful remnant. God will always have a people to honor and glorify his name till Jesus comes. We come to this 21st chapter of the book of 1 Kings, and we find that the story turns to the king of Israel, to Ahab once again. And in this chapter of chapter 21 of the book of 1 Kings, we find that Ahab was a longing in his heart. Remember, he's the king. He has got a palace. He has got many wonderful things. And yet all the possessions that he has doesn't really satisfy him. There's something he's longing. He's always longing for more. It is said of Alexander the Great that when he had conquered all of the world, the known world to conquer, he sat down and cried because there's no place more to conquer. You see, friend, the things of the world can never bring you true satisfaction. And here we find Ahab with all his possessions, and still he longed for more. He longed, looking out from his palace, he could see a vineyard. It was just beside the palace. It didn't belong to him. It was Naboth's vineyard. And the king longed that he coveted that vineyard for himself, that he might take that vineyard and that he might turn it into a garden of herbs because it was beside his palace. And one day he speaks to Naboth and he says, Naboth, I want your vineyard. Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs because it is near unto my house. He says, you know, I'll give you a better vineyard than what you have got. I'll give you something better for it. And he said, but if that doesn't satisfy you, he said, I will give you money. I will give the worth of it in money. And Naboth turned to the king of Israel and he said to him, I can't give it to you, king. Because you see this, God forbid, verse number 3, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. So he desired to please God. He desired to walk in God's ways. But Ahab didn't care about God. He didn't think about the law of God. He just thought about himself. His own passions, his own desires were in his heart. He didn't care that this was God's vineyard that was given to Naboth as the heritage or inheritance. And so he said to him, God forbid. The Bible tells us that Ahab turned and he walked like a spoiled child back to the palace. He went up to his room, he lay down in the bed, and he turned his face, as it were, to the wall, and he won't even eat because he's so displeased. And then, of course, we find that Jezebel comes in the scene, and she asks him, what's wrong? Why are you not eating bread, Ahab? Well, he says, is this man Naboth? Now, I asked him to give me his vineyard, and I would give him money for it, or I would give him another vineyard, but he wouldn't give it to me. He wouldn't give it. He says, I will not give thee my vineyard. That's not what he said.
He didn't say, I will not give it. He says, the Lord forbid me to give it. He wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God, but the Ahab wasn't concerned about what God's forbidding was. Not at all. All he heard was, I will not give it thee. And so we find that old Jezebel, she looked at him, she said, you know, are you not the king? Is there somebody in your kingdom that's telling you can't give it? Do you not realize that you're the king? Naboth's vineyard can be yours if you want to take it. But she knew that Ahab, I suppose, hadn't the guts to do that. And so she said to him, don't you worry, I'll give it you. He may not give it, but I'll give it to you. And so she sat down, and with her wicked hand, she wrote a letter in the name of the king. She wrote it to the leaders of the town in which Naboth lived and dwelt, or the city. And she told them to proclaim a fast. Set Naboth up there in the midst of the people, and then in the midst of the fast, in the midst of the people, two sons of Belial would come up and point the finger at Naboth and say, you're blaspheming God and the king. You see, whenever those words are said, you take that man, Naboth, and you stone him with stone and let him die. Just pull him out of the city and stone him with stones and let him die. The Bible tells us that the people of that city, the men of that city, the elders, the nobles, so-called, of that city, friend, did just exactly what Naboth had told, or that Jezebel had told concerning Naboth. So they proclaimed the fast. And when they proclaimed the fast, and he was sitting up there in the midst of the people, two sons of Belial, they come running in, and they witness against Naboth that he had blasphemed God and the king. And I see this godly man just wanting to honor God then, but they take him and they carry him forth out of the city, and they stone him until he's dead. Then they send the message back to the queen, Queen Jezebel. He's dead. You know, whenever she hears those words, she's excited. She runs into the presence of the king and she says, King, get yourself up, man. Pull yourself together. Go down and take the vineyard. Naboth's dead. It's yours. I see him rise from off his bed. I see him as he washes himself and prepares himself, and he makes his way from that palace, friend. He's making his way to the vineyard. And I can see a smile upon his face. I see him rub his hands as he thinks about that vineyard. You know, it's mine. And I didn't really have to pay for it at all. I didn't have to give anything for it. It's mine. And I'm going to enjoy the fruit. Oh, the desires, the passions that were in his heart. I'm going to enjoy this, for I'll make it a garden of herbs. But you know, unknown to the king that day he sealed his doom. He made his way down to that vineyard, friend, and as he was walking toward that vineyard thinking, it's mine. Do you remember what Moses said? He said the pleasures of sin were but for a season. And you know, as Ahab was walking down to Naboth's vineyard, rejoicing in the fact that it was his, he would enjoy it for the rest of his days. The vineyard's mine. And at that time, you see, I was thinking back at what Ahab said to Naboth. He says, I will give thee the worth of it in money. He was willing to pay a price. Let me tell you this, my friend. There is always a price to be paid for sin. But the price of Ahab's sin was a price that he never expected to pay. The price that he paid for his sin was a price that he never expected to pay. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Word of God says in James chapter 1, and sin when it is finished. Friend, let me tell you, when your sin's finished, the Word of God says, it brings you forth death. There is a price to pay for your sin, friend. And I sang it a moment ago. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. And I want to tell you, sin will cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. Because the price that Ahab paid for that vineyard that day was an eternal price for his sin. And yet he would never close the debt. He would never get it paid. The Bible tells us that whenever he was making his way down to his vineyard, God spoke to Elijah the prophet. And God said, look down to verse 17. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to Bethesda. You notice, God knew exactly where the king was. And God knew exactly why the king was going to possess Naboth's vineyard. And the scene turns to the man of God, friend. And God says, get up. Arise, Elijah, and you go down and meet Ahab. And I want you to deliver a message from me. Thus saith the Lord. And as I read this passage of God's word, and I think of God saying, I want you to go down to the vineyard of Naboth. Yes, God knew exactly where he was, and God knows exactly where you are. God said, listen, go down, for you'll find that he has gone to the vineyard of Naboth, and he's gone to possess it. God knew exactly what was taking him there. God knows exactly all about you and me. Young fellow, let me tell you this. You're only fooling yourself if you think that you can hide yourself from God. Young woman, tonight you think that you can hide your actions from God, that somehow you can sin in the darkness and nobody is going to know. My, you would blush if your father, your mother, or your friends were told about the sins that you've been involved in. I want to tell you, God knows them all together. You ever thought of that verse in God's Word, thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. There is nothing that God doesn't know. God knew exactly where Ahab was. God knew exactly what Naboth, or what had happened to Naboth, his child, his servant, and what Ahab was going to do to claim his vineyard. And God sent Elijah to deliver a message of judgment. God has sent me to Ballymoney tonight, and God has given me a responsibility to preach the word of God from him. Friend, listen to this, my friend. Sin, when it is finished, and there'll always be an end to your sinning. You can sin and you can sin and you can love your sin, friend, but there is a price to be paid. The word of God, Romans 6:23, says the wages of sin. Don't you think there's not a price to be paid? Don't you just think that somehow that God is going to turn away his face, that God is going to close his eyes to your sinning, that you can trample under your foot the precious blood of Christ, you can turn your back upon the Son of God, you can live for sin and pleasure and all of these things, and think that somehow that God's going to dismiss it and say, come on in, friend, come on into heaven, with all your sin, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really care of how you have lived. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I beg you tonight to listen carefully to what I have to say concerning Ahab before we're through. First of all, think of me. Think of Ahab's sin. Look at verse 19. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? You see, God put his finger right upon Ahab's sin. You say, but Ahab didn't kill himself. No, friend. Two sons of Belial were sent in the king's name because it was the king's name that was written by Jezebel on the letter. It was the authority of the king that the two sons of Belial witnessed against the servant of God when they accused him of blaspheming God and the king. And God says, hast thou killed, and also taken possession. What about your sin tonight? What's the sin that stains your soul? You know, God pointed his finger just as God cried out to Adam long time ago in Genesis. God says, Adam, when Adam sinned, God says, Adam, where art thou? God knew exactly where Adam was. God knew that Adam was hiding. God knew that Adam was afraid. God knew that Adam was ashamed. Because God knew that Adam had sinned. And God says, Adam, where art thou? And friend, we find that indeed Ahab had sinned grievously against God. Little did Ahab think that day, whenever he walked out into view the garden of Naboth, and stopped Naboth and said, Naboth, give me your vineyard. Little did Ahab know how far his sin would take him. I'll guarantee he never thought that the king would become a murderer because of it. That God, finger of God would point and say, Nahab, hast thou killed and hast thou taken possession? You say to me, preacher, hold on a wee second. Don't you ever think that I'd go that far in sin? Let me tell you this. The man that took the first drink never thought he was going to be an alcoholic. The man that laid his first bet never thought he had put his farm on the market for to clear his debts. And yet, my friend, go, let me tell you, across this countryside, and you'll find this, that all the reality of those and the picture of those is given to us again and again and again across the landscape of Ulster. There's no telling how deep sin will take you. Remember some years ago, I was preaching in the town. We have held a big tent mission in the center of our town. A friend of mine had a friend or a cousin, and he's greatly burdened about his soul and about his need of Christ. His mother was a good godly woman. She loved the Lord, and she had a great burden for her son. And one night we met up with him. It was late on a Saturday night before we held the mission. We met up with him. We started to talk to him. We sat there till about 3 o'clock in the morning. Remember the young man, he was very concerned about his sin, and we concerned about his soul. And as we talked together, he was troubled and concerned. And he said, you know, but I'm going to turn my life around. He said, I'll never allow sin to take me that far. And there's no way back. We talked quite some time, and finally the young lad got out of the car. We held our first week of the mission, and he didn't come. Yet, friend, I remember well, it was a Thursday night. I was about to go out to the mission the second week of the Gospel Tent Campaign. I was about to go out to the prayer meeting in the mission, and the telephone rang. It was the police station. I remember well, it was a big sergeant that I knew, and he said to me, Mr. McCrae, I wonder, could you come to the station? I said, what's wrong? He says, there's a young man wants to see you. And I said, but what's wrong? He said, listen, you better come to the station, please. And I'll tell you then. And I went to the station, and he told me this. He says, there's a young man that we have in the cell, and he's asking for you. And he says, we're going to charge him with murder. I said, what? He said, we're going to charge him with murder. I said, what do you mean? And he mentioned a young lad's name. It was a young lad who sat with me in the early hours of the Sabbath morning before the mission began. Went out with some of his friends for a night of drinking. And there was a row and a fallout amongst his drunken friends. He struck one of his friends and he killed him. I remember him walking into the little room in the station, and he was rubbing his hands. And I can still see him. He's rubbing his hands and he says, surely not. Surely not. No. No. You saw me standing there. The tears were running down the lad's cheeks and he says, no. And then he held up his hands. He says, I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer. Sat in the talk to the young fellow. I thought of his godly mother. You know, when I was just leaving the station, I was leaving the little room where we were talking together, going through the door, and he said these words to me. He said, "Tell me, are you going to the mission?" I said, "Son, I am." He says, "I wish I was going with you." And he wasn't going to the mission that night. He was going to the cell. Spend a number of years as a murderer. And yet I can still see that lad that Saturday night, Sunday morning. "Preacher, it'll never grip me. I'll never allow it to take me that far. I'll always be able to turn back." Listen, friend, sin will take you further when you ever want to go. Ahab, whenever he asked Naboth for his vineyard, he never thought that the prophet of God would stand before him and say, "Hast thou killed?" Ahab sinned. You know, sin is an awful thing, not only to God, but to you. Let me ask you this. What sins have stained your soul, friend? What sins stand against you, the record of God, if God was to call you to the judgment throne tonight? What sins are in the book of record of God? God knows them all. And if you do not repent, you'll perish. Esau sold his soul for a mess of pottage. Judas Iscariot sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And before you mock them, friend, listen, what are you selling your soul for? Many a lad selling his soul for a glass of liquor. And many a time it'll be a glass of liquor he'll never drink. Maybe you're selling your soul for an ungodly relationship. A relationship of sin and immorality that you should not be in. But sin has gripped your heart. And you never thought you'd be down there in the gutter. You never thought that sin would ever hold you fast, but tonight you're chained by it. "Hast thou killed," says God. What's the charge of God against you, friend? What's the finger of God putting, or what's God putting his finger upon in your life? What's the sin that you crave after? What's the thing that's keeping you from God? For the thing that stands between you and God, friends, is sin. For God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And I have a clear message tonight. I don't care what your sin is, it's not worth it. I don't care how much enjoyment you get out of it, young lad, it's not worth it. Mother, I don't care what the sin is in your life, it's not worth it. Because sin will damn you. Ahab sinned. Secondly, look at verse 16, Ahab's shamelessness. Verse 16, it says, "It came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession, and Ahab went down." Notice when he heard that Naboth was dead, it didn't fizzle him. Not a thought. Not a thought about a faithful young man. Not a thought about a young man that says, "God forbids me to give it to thee." He was doing what God told him to do. He was being faithful to his God. Notice the hardness of Naboth's, or of Ahab's heart. He just went down to the vineyard to take possession. For his sin didn't bother him. Does your sin not bother you? Let me tell you, my friend, if you can sin and it doesn't trouble you at all, you're in trouble. You're in a very dangerous position. If you can sin away and it doesn't shame you, and there's no shame that sin brings in your heart, my friend, I want to tell you, you're in trouble. Oh, sin will harden you. I know people have sat in many a gospel meeting and remember the first time that they sat and God troubled them and God gave them a concern within their heart. And I'll tell you, there were those that sat and they trembled under gospel preaching. But I want to say they don't tremble anymore. There's brass and act in their sin. There's brazen. They're sinning against the God of heaven, friend. They're sinning against light. They're sinning against the love of God Himself. They're passing by the cross and they realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon Calvary's cross to cleanse sinners from their sin. The thing that used to trouble them and bother them, it doesn't bother them anymore. For the Word of God says, he that being often reproved and hardened with his neck. That's what happens. See, I can go into the meetings and out of the meetings and it doesn't bother me the same preacher. Don't rejoice in that fact, friend. Be afraid. Be afraid of your shamelessness. Your shamefacedness. That you can walk underfoot the precious blood of Christ and you count it as if Christ never came. And when he did, it was nothing to you. Sin's hardness. Some years ago I was told by a young man concerning his dear wife. They had a home and a little family until one day sin entered into that home and she walked away from her children. He begged his wife to return, but she never answered his calls. He begged her to return to her children, but they were crying themselves to sleep. But it seems as if she was brass-necked in her sin. It was a Sunday afternoon. He so much loved his wife and wanted her back. Somebody told him that they knew where she was on a Sunday afternoon with her newfound lover in what was known as a beauty spot. He got the wee children into the back of the car and he drove to the spot, not saying to them what he was doing. And he parked the car at a certain spot and he could see in the distance and sure enough he saw her walking hand in hand with her new lover. He said to the wee children, he says, children, Daddy wants to just go away for a wee moment. You just stay in the car. Daddy will soon be back. He wanted to go down and beg his wife to come home. He went down along the pathway and he came up and she saw him. And his brass neck, she looked at him. Not a quiver. Not a tear. Not a concern. Then all of a sudden, he could hear these wee words. Mommy! Mommy! They were crying. He saw his wee children coming down the street. And they ran to Mommy and they threw their arms around Mommy's leg. They were crying their wee hearts out. And he says, Mommy, come home. Mommy, we need you. He says, I'll never forget. She pushed her children away. She turned her back. And I was holding on to the little ones. She took the hand of her lover. She walked down the path. Let me tell you, sin hardens, friend. If your heart's soft concerning your sin, thank God you're soft. May God burden you. May God show you the awfulness of your sin, friend. Because I'll tell you, this sin will harden you. My sin. Remember what David said? David sinned against the Lord and against Bathsheba. And God sent the prophet Nathan. And Nathan the prophet told the king a story about a little ewe lamb. And David's heart got angry. Tell me who he is! Tell me who he is! And I'll deal with him. Nathan the prophet said, King, Thou art the man. You took away the little ewe lamb from Uriah. She was all he had. But you stole her. You sinned against her. Read Psalm 51, friend. And David cries out these words, my sin. My sin is ever before me. And I believe as he looked at Bathsheba, he remembered his sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Very quickly, look at verse 18 to 20. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Verse 19. Speak thus, saith the Lord. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. I have a word from God for you, Naboth, or Ahab, concerning what happened to Naboth. In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. There's Ahab's sins. Naboth had been murdered. Ahab had crossed the line. And he went beyond the point of no return. And God says, in this very place, the very place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick your blood, because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And God passed the sentence upon him that day. And friend, let me tell you, that's all he had to look forward to. The judgment of God. You remember the promise that when he looked upon that vineyard, remember whenever Jezebel said, rise up, Ahab, and possess Naboth's vineyard, for he's dead. Do you remember he was going down and I can see him rubbing his hand. He says, it's mine and I'll enjoy it. Oh, I'll enjoy Naboth's vineyard. And I didn't have to pay a penny for it. Where were the pleasures now, friend? Where were the pleasures now? Where were the promises of what sin would give him? It promised him pleasure. And it brought forth pain. Let me say to you, unsaved person tonight, let me tell you, you know what's before you? If you die, if you continue in your sin and you die in your sin, what's before you? It's a sinner's death. A sinner's burial. And a sinner's hell. Tell me, what will a preacher say over you? What comfort will he bring to your family when you close your eyes in death and when they close the coffin for the last time and carry you to the graveyard? What comfort can he bring? Let me tell you this, my friend. If you're not saved, it'll not matter what the preacher says. You'll be already in hell for all eternity. Well, I've heard preachers speak about men whenever they're dead, friend, and let me tell you, I wondered who they were talking about. Certainly wasn't the person I knew. And not matter that. He can praise you to the highest heaven if he wants. But if you die in your sin, you'll be in the lowest hell. Ahab's sentence. And with this I'm through. Look at Ahab's sorrow. Go on down to verse 27. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, and he put sackcloth upon his flesh, and he fasted, and he lay in sackcloth, and he went softly. You say, preacher, tell me, what about Ahab now? Listen, friend, carefully. When Ahab heard the message of Elijah the prophet, it did affect him. And Ahab felt for a moment his guilt. Aye, and he displayed a certain sorrow over what had been done. But he never repented. Maybe you're sorry tonight. You look back over your life and you realize I played the fool. I've wasted a life of opportunity. And maybe you're sorry. Maybe you say, I'll change my life and I'll stop the booze and I'll stop the way I'm carrying on. Friend, let me tell you this. That'll never take you to heaven. Except ye repent. You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to bring your sin to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was sorry he was found out. But it never saved him from the judgment that God had set. Read on in the book, friend. And the blood of Ahab, the dogs licked it. Exactly as God had said. Sin had found him out. I'm through tonight. But I ask you this question. What about your sin? What about your sin? Oh, it's easy to point the finger at Ahab's sin and say, what a fool. But what about yours, friend? What if God tonight is to call you to the bar of judgment, the throne of judgment? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Tell me, are your sins forgiven? Are your sins repented of? Are your sins cleansed? Are you sure before God that you are ready to meet the Lord? Thank God there's a God that's ready to see you. Thank God there's a Savior that is ready to pardon. That though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as well. Thank God there's power in the blood of the Lamb tonight. And I don't care how far you're down in sin, I thank God the blood of Jesus Christ can reach you. I thank God the blood of Christ can cleanse you. And the Savior can truly save you if you repent and turn to Christ. Ahab, he's in hell tonight. Do you remember what he said at the beginning of the story? I will give thee, I will pay thee what it's worth. He's still paying the price. In hell for his sin. Oh, God, bring sinners to Jesus.